Today is August 8th, 2020, 2020. My name is Peyton Weekly, and I'm interviewing Justin Ripley over the phone for my first year seminar class at Marshall University. Our FYS class has been focusing on the themes of critical thinking, the power and value of asking well-crafted questions, storytelling, and the stories we tell in response to those who crafted questions. We have examined oral histories related to two timely themes, pandemics and protest. This interview will be focused on the theme of the 2018 West Virginia teacher strike and protest. Justin, thank you for agreeing to be interviewed.
Okay. You're welcome.
So, what initiated the 2018 West Virginia teacher strike?
The strike started out, mainly it was a Southern West Virginia thing. You know, started in Logan, Mingo counties, and it was a lot over insurance and a pay raise to a point, but it was mainly over funding of PEIA and making sure that people's insurance costs didn't go through the roof and whether there was going to be a permanent funding source for PEIA. The pay raise came in additionally that people were kind of frustrated by the lack of pay raise over many years. But, you know, it was kind of a combination of the two.
Okay. So, why were the teachers so upset with this action?
Well, really, for, like, the insurance costs, the cost for insurance was going to go up drastically if there was not a permanent funding source. If there was not money contributed to PEIA source, then people's premiums would potentially double or triple. So say, you know, for my family, we were paying, you know, $250, $300 a month, that could go to $500 or $600 a month. And then for people, you know, who had, you know, medical conditions and some of the costs that they were going to have to pay were going to go up dramatically. And there was no pay raise, you know, to offset that either. So it was kind of a combination of the two.
So that was my next question. Why did teachers not accept that pay raise offer?
Well, the initial pay raise offer was for, a couple percent. There was never, the 5% pay raise that ultimately happened. It was more of, well, here's 1%, here's 2%. And for a lot of people, you know, that was, if there was no funding source for PEIA, that 1% or 2% was going to do, all it was going to do was simply pay insurance. It wasn't like they were going to get a giant pay raise. You know, if your average teacher made $40,000 a year and you're giving somebody 1%, you're giving them a couple hundred dollars. And so really that was going to do very little in regards to it, you know, as far as offsetting the potential costs.
Okay. So what actions did you personally partake in during the strike?
Well, you know, for me personally, I started out as someone, I won't say that I was anti-strike, but I was somebody who was not gung-ho to go on strike. It was one of those things that I always said that if the people in our building were striking, well, most definitely I would. And, you know, Cabell County did a day out, some of the Southern West Virginia counties did a day out, and then Cabell County and Wayne, and there may have been another county or two, we had a day where we went out just by ourselves. You know, it was a walkout day, and a large number of us went to the Capitol. We met with representatives, we expressed our concerns, and then, so there was one thing that I did. We did a lot of standing alongside of the road, whether it be at the plaza where Big Lots is at now, whether it be outside of Cabell Midland. You know, I spent two or three days at the Capitol. So it was just a variety of things.
So I know they came to a resolution, but Was the strike itself effective for the cause?
Looking back, you would say yes, because, you know, the teachers ultimately won because they did get the pay raise. You know, we got the pay raise that we wanted, and, you know, in fact, we got 2 5% pay raises. So you would say yes, but part of it, you would say no, because there's still never been a permanent funding source for PEIA. There have been things where it has stabilized it for the time being. So you would say yes, because teachers ultimately got the things that they wanted. But, you know, could it, you know, it, was there a long-term fix for insurance? No, there really wasn't. But it was kind of overlapped with a 5% pay raise, so it kind of defeated the purpose of it. And, you know, what ultimately a lot of people found out is going down, you know, down the line, fixing insurance was going to be a lot harder than, you know, a 9-day strike could happen.
Okay. Where did you do most of your protesting, you or your colleagues?
We were, you know, went to the Capitol. I went to the Capitol a couple of days. A lot of it was right along Route 60. You know, there were a lot of the feeder schools from not only Cabell Midland, but the Barbersville schools. Everybody was kind of there. We did do some at right outside of Midland at, there's a car wash across from the school that we spent some time at there. So it was just kind of back and forth various places. And honestly, a lot of people's protesting happened on social media. You know, we were able to use it as much as we could anything else to, you know, keep, you know, public support on our side, present your case, you know, almost create public pressure on the politicians as well, because social media was used as a great tool for us as much as it was anything else.
Yeah, for sure. Was there anything specifically that bothered you during the time of the strike?
I mean, looking back, you know, we spent one of the first days in, we actually got into the House of Delegates Gallery. And so we were up top, me and a few of my colleagues. And it was kind of, we felt disrespect, you know, it was kind of more of a disrespect of, you know, they just kind of, we were looked down upon at times. We spent one day in the Senate, and right whenever the teacher, you know, there was a pay raise bill up or discussion about it, the Senate immediately adjourned. And it was kind of one of those almost of, you know, look at us, we don't need to listen to you type deals. And that was kind of probably one of the most frustrating things is, you know, for a lot of us, we felt like it didn't need to last as long as it did. I mean, that, you know, it was kind of these, you know, politicians didn't want to just kind of give in. It could have been over a lot faster than it was if people would have just tried to, you know, talk. But, you know, ultimately the politicians, you know, didn't want any part of that. And, you know, Mr. Carmichael was ultimately the face of the side the teachers hated. And, you know, whenever you look back at things, whether it was a success or not, you know, this past June proved that it was a success because he was voted out of office. And he was voted out of office, you know, by teachers, and a teacher was who beat him. So it was kind of almost karma in the whole situation of how that happened.
Looking back on it now, is there anything that you think that yourself or most teachers would have done differently that may have been more effective for the cause?
That's tough because, I mean, you know, I think if you would have had, you know, there was a lot of unrealistic expectations for people going into this. And I mean, that was part of the social media age as well, that if you would have had a united front of this is what we want, this is what we're willing to accept, that may have helped out a lot more. But honestly, you know, teachers kind of bonded together really quickly and said, we want to do this, we want to do this. And, you know, that's how things, and it organized pretty quickly, and people kind of stuck together. There was no, you know, going against each other or anything like that. The toughest things were, you know, trying to figure out, you know, how is this going to end and things like that. And it worked out well for everybody. I mean, people did get a pay raise, things like that.
Okay. See, our first year seminar class is focused on critical thinking. What is an example of critical thinking in your line of work or your life? If you could tell me a little story, maybe.
Okay. I mean, you know, one of the things that as a history teacher and teaching about government, the hardest, you know, getting kids to think is probably one of the hardest things. And, you know, obviously right now, you know, it's one of those things. We're getting people to accept other people's points of view and reading and analyzing things that maybe they don't necessarily agree with, and looking at it from somebody else's perspective and saying, hey, this is why they think the way that they do, and accepting that, yes, somebody else can have an opinion different than you. and you know, we can use our current, you know, political climate. We'll have a lot of students who come in and say they support a certain candidate and ask them why, and they can explain why, but they can't tell you why they don't like the other person, other than I just don't like them. And a lot of times, once you get them to critically think or look into, hey, this is that person, they realize, okay, I don't necessarily agree with this person, but I can understand why people do. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, for me, I do a lot of just getting people to listen to each other and then think before they speak. And it's kind of an acceptance of others' points of view. And I mean, everything that's going on in our society right now, you know, that's one of the things that we all kind of push them to do, is just listen to each other as much as anything else.
And I agree 100% with you on that. Final question. What would you like to add that I haven't asked?
I mean, you know, looking back at the teacher strike, you know, it's kind of one of those things, as a teacher, you never think that you're going to be a participant in something like that. And I oftentimes tell anybody that that was probably the longest 2 weeks I've ever had of my life in regards to teaching, because you never knew what was going to happen from day to day. Even the day that they agreed to a pay raise and they agreed to all these demands, we were all still sitting around waiting on something to happen to keep us from going back to work. I mean, it was, you know, watching the governor sign into office a bill, we all kept waiting. We were sitting at the TV waiting on them to say, yeah, no, this isn't going to happen. So, you know, I think the biggest thing from that was, it was one of those things that none of us ever saw happening, but it also inspired kind of a movement throughout the country that you saw a lot of other teachers go on strike, and a lot of places it happened, and you know, they succeeded, and it's because it all started here in West Virginia.
Well, Justin, I think that's everything that I have for you. I appreciate you coming in and speaking.